Immediately. I do. I've got some notes tonight, which you very rarely see me with, because I wrongly diagnosed the title of the meeting tonight. I thought I had to make a wide circumference of the plan of God from eternity to eternity, and just show the position of faith in relation to the plan of God's work. But when I got to my destination this morning, it was more or less what God had planned for me. And I got to deal with my simple faith in God's plan in my service for Him. So I've had to write a few hasty notes today. I'll do my best not to consult them, but if I do look down, you'll know the reason why. Now, into the Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 11. The Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Now shall we go to chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And God will bless to us those portions from his own precious word. Now the first thing that we must realize is this, that there is the necessity of faith. The necessity of faith. Not a mere sanctimoniousness, not a mere just weepy-weepy sort of thing that you allow this and you allow that, but faith is that strong measure by which the soul can lay hold upon God, and that God will reward them that exercise their faith in himself. So that we read in this same chapter concerning Enoch, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There is the necessity of faith. And you and I, brother and sister, it isn't good enough just to sit down quietly and say, I'm on my way to glory, and that is the end of it. For without faith, we cannot please God. Our life must be a life of faith. Now, I know that we refer to people that may occupy the same position as I am in, and you've quite a number here in the north of Ireland, and just because they're in full-time work, then they're living by faith. Well, every one of God's children ought to be living by faith. That wage that you get on a Thursday night or a Friday night or whatever it might be, weekly or monthly or whatever it is, that is no guarantee. The guarantee of your future and the guarantee of your blessings doesn't lie in what you have done. It rests in the hand of God Himself. And we need to take hold of that. That him that cometh to God must believe that he is a very present God. A God that is there in the day of trouble. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, how do we get hold of this faith? It's good to know the necessity of faith. But how do we get hold of this faith? Well, the scriptures tell us quite clearly again, and the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, he could say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I want faith, and if I want my faith to be encouraged, and I want it to be strengthened, and my confidence in the living God to be so calm and peaceful and restful, then I must know the word of God. That's how you are saved, my dear brother and sister. Now, you young ones, in particular, I'm speaking with you. It was through the preaching of the Word of God in the Gospel that you laid hold upon in simple faith. You had no tangible evidence, nothing to be seen by the eye or handled with your hands. We just rested implicitly upon the Word of God as it was presented in the Gospel. We accepted it in simple faith, and that's where faith begin. So, I trust every one of us have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, is that true for every one of my younger brethren, and indeed, my older ones as well? Has there been a place in your life where you trusted Christ as your Savior? Let me tell you a story. I'm expected to give some of my experiences, so I'll give them. I was preaching the gospel in a place, actually it was at Leith. Some of you will know the name if you've never been there. And after the meeting, as I stood in the porch, a lady came to me and she was in her 70s. She said, "Mr. Harrison, I want to be saved. And I'm going to tell you candidly, she frightened me." And so we sat down together, and I started asking questions going further and further back in her life. She said, "Mr. Harrison, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to find if there's any point in my life where I've trusted Christ. I'm not saved, and I want to be saved tonight." So I thought, well, perhaps it's just a lack of assurance. And so I was bringing out scriptures that were intended by the Spirit of God to bolster up a weak faith that we might be strong in faith and know the certainty of the things that lie before us. She said, "Mr. Harrison, I'm not saved and I want to be saved." And I led that woman to the Lord that night. And she'd been gathering with the saints there in one of the assemblies in Leith for over 40 years, and her husband was on the oversight, and he just couldn't believe it that his wife wasn't saved, and I led her to the Lord that night. Now that's a grand thing, isn't it? I'll never forget that night, and I'm quite sure she'll never forget that night, when she came, after being deceived for so long, the Spirit of God took away the veil and showed her the truth, and she trusted Christ for herself. My dear brother and sister, it's as well for us to be able to say, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now, my young people, just lay hold upon that.
And if you want the assurance of salvation, it will come by the word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we want to build ourselves up, now not in the faith I'm talking about, that's the form of sound words once and for all delivered unto the saints. But if you want to build yourself up in faith, to be able to give to everyone that asks you the reason of the hope that is within you, to be able to defy the onslaught of the wicked one, as he would come as he did to the Lord Jesus, if you want to be able to give a good, clear answer that will deal with Satan and with anybody else, it's the Word of God that is that great source, the sword of the Spirit, and that enables us to be conquerors in the time of our sorest need and our trouble. Now, as we've looked at the necessity of it and our appreciation of it, then we've got to look at the explanation to it, haven't we? Now that's what we get in the opening verses of chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that is the explanation. Now I'm not going to go into the Greek, or else I might find someone that can understand it and read it better than I can. But I'll tell you this, and the Greek student will have to agree with me, that the word just means the ground that is under, the foundation. And faith is the strong foundation concerning the things that we hope for. And if we hope for it, then Romans chapter 8 says, they are not seen. For if they were seen, then why do we yet hope for them? So that here we have to do with the great promises of God. We have to do with the faithfulness of God in His promises. And we find that faith is that strong foundation upon which I can rest and lay hold upon the word of God and lay hold upon the promise of God and know that He is faithful which promised. Some call it the evidence of the things hoped for. That if you've got faith, then you've got the evidence that those things that are not seen are reality. Well, I can accept that just as well. But brother and sister, I do believe there's a glorious place called heaven. I believe it as real as what I believe there's a house over there on the other side of the Irish Sea. Number 52 Old Chester Road. That's where I live now. But by faith, I know that I've got another dwelling, and it's an eternal dwelling in the place that Christ has gone to prepare for us. And so it can mean the evidence of things not seen, where we can lay hold upon them as realities because they are realities. And the fact that we can't see them doesn't minimize the fact of them. They are real and they are true. There's someone that say the word could mean the title deed. The title deeds of things hoped for. Well, that's good to have the title deeds, isn't it? I haven't got any title deeds to anything down here, but I've got the title deeds to things up yonder. There's a place prepared for us. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God. What title deed, brothers and sisters? Eh? I'd rather have that than the title deeds to an earthly throne. The title deeds to glory. And that is faith. And the writer says that faith, that's the title deed to the things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. And so there are things that we haven't seen yet. But faith is the evidence of those things. And as long as that real faith is there in my heart, directed toward a person, on the ground and the authority of the Word of God, though they be unseen, they are real. No man has seen God at any time. No, no. No man can look upon my face and live. But the fact that no one has seen him doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. He does exist, and he's a reality. And all that he's promised to them that put their trust in him is as much a reality. And one day, I'm going to enter into it and know the joy of the Lord for all eternity. Young men, you just take hold of it and rejoice in it. And as you've begun in this pathway of faith, and you've laid hold upon faith, and by faith you're looking at the things hoped for, the things that are not seen, and your faith is telling you the real, the true, the vital, they belong to you. And sooner or later, that which is the veil that stands between is going to be removed. I'm going to see that what heaven holds, and I'm going to enjoy it for all eternity. You know, brother, it might belong to a little part of my experiences. I led my old grandmother for a long time, and I used to say she was the saintliest sinner that had ever met. She was at everybody's beck and call at any hour of the day. And she lay upon a deathbed, and she lay there for a long time. And I led her to the Lord. And I had to go pray with her when I came home for dinner. And before I went to bed, I had to read the scriptures and pray with her again, and I got into trouble if I was late. And I came home one night, and my brother, in a sarcastic way, I led him to the Lord after him. In a sarcastic way, he said, "You're too late." I said, "I'm too late for what?" He said, "She's dead." I said, "I'm not too late." So I said to my mother, "How did Gran pass away?" She said, "I've never heard anything, and I've never seen anything like it before." As weak as she was, throughout the day she'd been saying, "I wish the Lord had taken me home. I wish he'd taken me home." And 7:30 that night, in all her weakness, she sat straight up in bed, and her eyes and her face just beamed, and the tears just poured down her cheeks. And she said, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming for me." And she fell back dead. See? And God had given her a glimpse of eternity. And there the gates were opening wide to welcome that soul at the end of a day. Brother and sister, it's a reality. And one day we're going to see the King in his beauty. And so here we have the explanation given to us. And if I can go a step further, and my young ones, again, I'm really hammering you, aren't I? I don't really mean to do it. But if you went further down into that chapter 11, you don't only get the explanation to it, but you get the activity that belongs to it. And after all, we've got to remember this, that the great man James, in his epistle, he could say, "You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Now there's only one person that can see faith, and that's God. And there in the scriptures, when those four men were letting that man down through the roof, it says, when Jesus saw the thing, he saw it. He knows the heart, and he ties the reins to it. But brother and sister, I only know that you've got faith when it's manifested by your works. Well, you have a look there at Abel. You don't read much about it, but it says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and had this testimony of God, that he was well pleasing to God, and by it, him being dead, yet speaketh. Now here's the sacrifice, and that man was resting upon that sacrifice, the sacrifice that belongs to God, the sacrifice that is the scriptural sacrifice. There's no sacrifice in the book for our present situation before God than the sacrifice of Christ and the blood that he shed there upon Golgotha's tree. Now here's the activity of faith. Now, my dear friend, just to know all about these things is not going to take you to heaven. Now, I want to take that deception away from you. Your access to heaven is the exercise of your faith in relation to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The old hymn puts it like this: I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me, that on that cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. And so here is the first activity of faith as he goes out to the Christ of God, and a personal acceptance of him as your Savior. Now God recognizes that, God knows that, but the writer will go a step further, and he'll say there's another activity, and it's this: by faith Enoch walked with God, and had this testimony that he pleased God, for he was not, for God took him. Now there's another activity of simple faith, that the old life that once I lived, and I can't go into that, I've given you that before, a long time ago, but the old life, with all its fascinations, with all its subtleties, and all its mystery, and all its attraction, you can just turn your back upon them all. And here's an Enoch. What he was doing for the first 65 years of his life, I don't know. I've read one or two books about Enoch, and anyone would think he was born with a halo around his head, that there was never anything wrong with it. But my Bible says this: when Enoch was 65 years old, he begat a son, and he called his name Methuselah, and after Methuselah was born, Enoch walked with God 300 years. What was he doing in the 65 years before he was born? Because Methuselah means, when he is done, it shall come. And Enoch accepted the warning by faith, and whatever life it was before, he turned from it, and he walked with God. A walk that was well pleasing to God, and he was removed physically from the scene of judgment and disaster. He
please God. Now, brother and sister, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith is an actual reality, then it's going to be seen in your walk with God. Well, Paul makes it quite clear, it was quoted this afternoon, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. You know, if you know anything about me, I was a bit of a wrestler, you know. I think I can make you blush if I told you some of the things that I did. I'm not going to tell you. But, you know, after the Lord had saved me, I just had to look for employment in another place. And it would be about 12 months or 2 years afterward that I came back to the old haunts where I lived. And the lads that I played with and I had a lot of mischief with them, they'd meet me, you know, as I was going along, and they'd say, "Hey," that's how we talk in Lancashire, you know, "Hey, are you Jeff Harrison?" And 2 years had made such a difference in my life, from what I was before I trusted Christ, to what by the grace of God had become after trusting Christ, that they couldn't even recognize that I was the same man. Now, that's how it ought to be, shouldn't it? Those things that occupied us and did their best to satisfy, then let them go. I know one that satisfies the longing soul. And if my faith is real, then my walk will be with God. And it will be a walk that will be to His pleasure and to His delight. And I tell you, where there is a unanimity in walk and in desire, there is a fellowship that is not known if we walk at a distance from God. To walk close with God will bring with it blessings unknown to a world, and indeed blessings unknown to a lot of Christians that just want to live far away. You'll discover that in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Some of you know I've tried them, I've tried a lot of them. Don't want to go back to any of them. I know that being a Christian in close communion and fellowship with my God through faith in Christ is enough. And I need that no more. So, the activity of faith will bring me face to face with the sacrifice. The activity of faith will bring me to that responsibility, the blessed responsibility of fellowship and walk with God. But it'll do something more. And it'll bring you down to the next one. Oh, we're not going to go through the whole of the epistles of Hebrews, chapter 11. But have a look at the next one. By faith, nor being warned of God, building an ark to the saving of himself and so on. I want to say this. If Abel speaks of sacrifice, and if Enoch speaks of the walk, then Noah will speak of security. Oh, you've met Christians, I've met Christians, and they've said, you know, I wonder whether I trusted the Lord or not. Something happens, they've been tripped up and stumbled, and their eyes have been distracted to something else, and they just wonder. brother and sister, no, he didn't know what rain was. He never came until the flood, because the earth was watered with the mist that proceeded out of the ground. Isn't that right? He didn't know. And yet God said that he was going to destroy the whole of the earth with a flood. And Noah was wrong and accepted the warning. And he did what God told him to do. And he builded the ark. And that was enough to keep him and his wife, his three sons and their wives and every species that was on the earth, to keep it alive and safe over a period of 12 months until the door of the ark was open again. They all came out and not one of them was lost. That's security, isn't it? It's one thing to try and argue a thing out with yourself, isn't it? It's one thing to try and persuade yourself that everything's all right. But I tell you a better thing. Thus saith the Lord. He cannot lie. And there my faith can lay hold upon God's word. And it means security to my soul. Ah well, perhaps you've thought about it, I'll just put your thought out. But I'm sure of heaven as though I was there already. And nothing is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so here, this is the way that I came, and this is the way my young brother, my young sister, you go. And if you go that way, you'll find the pathway opening up before you, and you'll hear God say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now, I was quite happy with the Bible. I couldn't be satisfied with what I read in the Bible. It was a completely new Bible. I didn't even know John 3:16, you know that one, don't you? I didn't even know that. And I had to begin right at the beginning. So instead of studying, all that I could do was read it. Until I got a grasp of what the contents were. And then I could start putting two and two together. And sometimes it made five. And not even four. But never mind. The Lord gave blessing. And we've been able to go on. Now, brethren. I remember. And I was a young man of the friend. And it's something like you. Okay? Well, I got a young lady, you are sure to see. And I thought a lot about her too. I thought a lot about her. But when the Lord saved me, that was it. Just like that. Everything just crashed. Just like that. I hope that's alright. Can you hear? Good. Well, I didn't know me by then. And I wouldn't advocate these kind of things to Christians that do know the Bible a little bit. But I remember I just you notice I don't put this on my tie. The last time I had it on my tie, I shot on it and it pulled me tie off. So don't put it on me. But I just opened my Bible at random. And it was the book of Job. And in the passage there right in front of them, just one verse, it stuck out to me. Really hit me between the eyes. I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a man? So there you are, I've got a young lady, and the father of that young lady, he threatened me with prosecution. that if ever he saw me talking to his daughter again, he'd have me up.
Well, I said to the Lord, after I'd read that text, because God meant that for me, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look up in an age? And I said, Lord, I won't look at a young woman till I'm 23. Do you know why I said 23? Because that's the year my father got married. So you see just how ignorant the world is. Well, my beloved, lovely night. To think I could stay up there till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes never go to bed at all, and on to the job the next day, and out with the friend there with the tracks and with the text back and front and preaching in the streets, and that my was really wonderful. It went on for 3 years. It went on for 4, it went on for 5, it went on for 6, it went on for 7. My, I really enjoyed it. And you know, I found I was being attracted to a young lady again. And I asked the Lord to take it away. I said, Lord, I'm enjoying all this. And I don't want to lose any of it. But will you just take it all away? And he didn't. So I said, Lord, will you let me prove you? Because if I make a mistake now, I've made a mess of my life. I've made a mess of everything. And I just want to be sure. And I said, will you give me a soul this week where I'm working? And do you know where I worked? I worked for the ICI, the Imperial Temple. And it was in the heavy chemical department. And people were walking next door to death. And they were so accustomed to it that some of them were the vilest men that you could ever meet. And I was asking an impossibility. And I was hoping it was an impossibility too, because I didn't want to surrender anything. But lo and behold, on the Wednesday, as I was at the bench and the others were there in the office wasting their time. The foreman joiner walked in. And he walked straight into the office, and there they carried on with the conversation. And then I heard a remark about the Salvation Army. And then a big roar of laughter. Well, I haven't got a lot in common with the Salvation Army. I mean, the my brethren and sisters in Christ, those that have trusted Christ as the Savior, and I'd be happy to talk with them, and all that. No, I'm not a bigot like that. And I said to myself, if I haven't got much in common with the Salvation Army, I'm not going to let men like that just have a good laugh at their expense. And I left the bench, and I got halfway to the office, and the Word of God just came. See, now, that's the benefit of reading it. That's the benefit of knowing it. That the Spirit of God can just draw it from your memory and just set it in front of you. And the scripture that came was, ye have need of patience. And I turned on the heel and I walked back again to the bench. Just like that. I accepted it from the Lord. And it wasn't very long after that this foreman joiner, he came out and he joined me at the bench. And it didn't take 2 minutes for me to realize that that man was asking me how he could be saved. And I led him to the Lord just like that. And what I'd asked God to do in confirmation as to that young lady, he'd done it. And he'd given me a soul in that week. The foreman joined, and it was real too. He used to wait for me every night. We used to talk about the scriptures going home, and we used to enjoy the fellowship together. I said, now tell me, after I made sure that he knew what he'd done, what were you lacking in the Salvation Army for?
so sorry. I don't want to be great. I said there was a reference made to the Salvation Army, and then there was a big uproar of laughter. So I thought again. Ah, no, he said, you got it all wrong. He said, I did mention the Salvation Army, but I was telling them what great work they did during the war. No, he said, we were laughing at something else. Well, I said, I was on my way to tell you what. He said, it's a good job he didn't, as Peter told you what. And you know, the devil knew how I was proving God. And he tried to step in and spoil it. And the Spirit of God brought the scripture from the mind that sent me back again to the bench and spoiled the efforts of Satan. And when I got home, I wrote the letter. Tradition read it. Even when he fell. So I wrote a letter to her and told her how I'd proved the Lord in this matter. And I said, now, if your answer's no, I'll be all right. I still got this lucky life that I was living. But I said, if it's yes, I said, after you've written it, will you show it your mum and dad first? And then send it on to me. Well, she's my wife now. That's over 48 years ago. I tell you, if I would have chosen one, I couldn't have chosen one any red as good. She's one in a million. One in a million. Now, that's a lovely experience, isn't it? Especially when it's a relationship that's going on until death do us part. There wouldn't even be the slightest thought about a separation, much less a divorce. And I tell you, young folks, you think you love your young lady better than you can ever love her at all. But I'm going to tell you this, you're only at the beginning here. Only at the beginning. As the days go on, now brethren, isn't it true? Isn't it true? As the days go on, you'll love your wife better every day. No amens? Found you all out, have I? Well, I must say, I love my wife better. After 48 years than ever before, I give to her all that credit. Those 7 daughters that we had, the thousands of 7 of them, all saved by the grace of God. But I give to her the credit of it, that I was away from home more than a while before. And she was the one that cared for me. And she was the one that taught me. She was the one that guided them. And that a credit to a real credit. That's a good experience. I'm over the time. 9:05 was told. About 7 minutes past. But I'll tell you this one. You can see, brother and sister, how I could go on with these experiences that prove the reality of faith and the place that faith takes in the plan of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I never tried to push myself into full-time work. I had somebody else that did the pushing. And it was God. He did the pushing. The first time I ever took a gospel meeting indoors, it wasn't because somebody asked me to go from that assembly. It was a brother that was invited to go, and he had the telegram to say that there was trouble there as far as his uncle was concerned, some physical trouble, and would I go and take his place? I tell you, I went with great fear and trembling. I wasn't that kind of a fellow. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe what it was then. I'd dodge you if I could. I was that shy, that reserved. And I went and I preached the gospel that night, and God saved us all. The first night that I ever preached the gospel, God saved the woman that night, as though it was finally sealed upon. And there he was. But gradually it just grew and grew and grew and grew until I was taking 4, 5, 6 meetings during the week and doing the job in the day. I'd give a week and a fortnight's holiday so that I could walk further afield. And then the burden just came. There you choose that. I want you to work for me. Did I try to get out of it? I'll tell you this. I think my middle name is Jonah. So I have this whole advice. But I tried to get out of it. I did my best to get out of it. But no, God wouldn't let me. He just wouldn't let me. And the burden became so great. I was in the fire service of the town. I had food poisoning 3 times in quick succession. And they thought that I'd got duodenal trouble. I was off for 6 months. The fire service acknowledged the liability. I was back for 6 months and the whole thing came up again. I was off for 6 months again. The fire service said, no, it's not our responsibility. I don't know how long we were going to be off. But I said to my wife, as she was the only one that knew my burden, I said, if I'm going to serve the Lord full time, we'll be dependent upon Him every day. I'll use the opportunity to prove it. Let's leave the matter in His hand and let Him meet our needs. My brother, sister, without any exaggeration at all, never less than my week's wages came into the house for 6 months to follow. I remember one Tuesday morning when it was the right day, and I'm afraid my faith was becoming dim. And I said to my wife, I think you'd better go up the road and ask your mother for the rent. My wife said, the postman hasn't been yet. And sure enough, he was there. He was there. And more beside. More could tell you a lot. More could tell you a lot. But I better finish. I don't want to be accused of being wrong, do you? But I tell you this, and this is recent. This is recent. I only wife up this morning. And last week, she had to go to hospital for X-rays. A very bad hit. She had it for quite a while. And yesterday, she went to the doctor to get the result of the X-rays. And the doctor said they're quite serious. There is some corrosion in the low part of the spine, and the hip is just coming out of joint, and you need to go to a specialist for further investigation. Now he said, would you like a private appointment, or would you like the National Health? And my wife said, it'll have to. Well, he said, that could take 12 months for an engagement with the National Health. But he said, with a private appointment, it could be just a few days. Well, she said, how much would that be? Well, he said, somewhere about 25 to 30 pounds. And she just said, have a private appointment. This morning she told me there was a letter just inside the door, and in the letter there was a check for £40, and the whole lot had been there. Now I could multiply that, brother and sister, but you might think I'm just standing on my own horse. Both
singular. But I want to encourage you, my friend, that simple faith will bring you into a closer walk with God. It will breathe into your heart the sense of security from all evil. And it will open that path to willing faith, to tread in, to do His service. And if you go in to do His service for His glory, you can lay hold upon that promise. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I do pray that God will bless these remarks and that they may be a help to some of us and to lead us on in the ways that He infers. Now shall we pray together? Our God and our Father, we bow in Thy holy presence in that worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee for that lovely name. We thank Thee for the one that first attracted us to Himself. The one that we heard say to our heart, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." We thank Thee, Father, for a simple faith in Thy beloved Son, a living faith in Thee, and we pray that we may prove that faith day by day in our lives and in the circumstances that we are confronted with at various intervals in our experience, that we may know that Thou art the living God, and Thou dost care for Thy children. We thank Thee for the help that Thou hast given, and we pray that the message may be for Thy glory, and that it might have good effect in the hearts and the lives, the behavior of those who have listened to it to the end, that the testimony may become the stronger and the wider, and that others may know the Savior as well. Now, Father, we do thank Thee for provision that has been made for us, the refreshment that has been provided. We thank Thee for it, and as we partake of it and enjoy the fellowship one with the other, we pray that our fellowship may be sweet and it may bring pleasure to Thine heart. For Thy word says how good and how pleasant a thing it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so accept of our thanks for the physical provision, and bless both spiritual and physical to us and for Thy glory, as we present our thanks in that alone worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.